And welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a project of Action for Healthy Communities and is provided in collaboration with KCBX and the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. This program is made possible through underwriting by Joan Gellert Sargent. Fred Monroe continues to host the program from home with continuing concerns about protecting us all from the COVID virus. Today, Fred will talk with members of the local Toastmasters International. This international organization builds community leaders through its local programs, developing and supporting better communications. Fred and his guests today will help you to better understand how learning to communicate effectively is not just about public speaking, but also about being part of a worldwide leadership network. Join Fred and his guests today for this valuable discussion. You are invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation today. You can call us at 805-549-8855 or email your questions to voices@kcbx.org. Now let's join Fred and his guests. Over to you, Fred.
Thank you, Brad. Good to be with you today. I want to brace everybody for the fact that you're going to have a program today that is going to involve four people speaking on the radio who all clearly love to speak. And I can tell you the sound checks we started doing about a half an hour ago led me to believe this will be a lively program. So I hope you're going to stick around for a while. We're going to talk about Toastmasters International. I don't know if you've ever seriously considered ways that you can communicate more effectively, improving your communication skills, whether or not building on that with leadership skills could be part of what you want to get into. My guests today are all actively involved and chatty people related to Toastmasters. I can assure you by the end of the hour, you'll understand why I said the sound check was a fascinating conversation before we went live with the program. My guests today are Yumi Sprague, who is the current director of Area D2, District 33, and a member of not one but two Toastmasters clubs in San Luis Obispo County. Dr. Joseph Skoda, who is a past director of District 33 and a longtime member, and David Figueroa, who's secretary and past president of a club in San Luis Obispo called Toastmasters Club number 83. I didn't know they had numbers, David. For those of you who are regular listeners to KCBX, yes, this is David Figueroa, who you've heard on the radio before, hosting some wonderful programs we do. You're welcome to join this discussion. Please give us a call at 805-549-8855 or email us at voices@kcbx.org. If you want to email us with some information that you'd like to be passed on to my guests, I'll make sure that whatever you have for questions or observations for them as members of Toastmasters also get passed on to them. But we're going to talk about Toastmasters, an organization for those of us who are old enough, we feel like it's been around forever. I have no idea how long it's been around, but I'm sure some of my guests will tell me. I think at some point my guests will have things to tell me that we didn't know about Toastmasters, but we want to make sure we either A, know, or B, never hear again. It will be that kind of discussion, I think, in some regards. Okay, so who's the history lesson person of the three of you?
You mean regarding Toastmasters?
Yeah. Well, yes, David.
David, I don't know.
Good news. The program is about Toastmasters today.
Why don't I say what I know and the others can fill in, because I don't claim to know a heck of a lot except that Toastmasters got its start in the early-ish 1920s, maybe 1924 or so. Unfortunately, for a long time, it was male only. And that I didn't think was a great thing to learn about, but times change, fortunately. And I think it wasn't until maybe the 70s, early 70s, when it opened up to women and then started, I don't know at what point it became international, but it did start in the United States. And it is now, this is where Joseph, I'm sure, can kick in internationally. It's over 300,000 members and a whole bunch of clubs all over the world. And that's really one of the really neat things about it. But I've got to pull back into a little bit of the history of our Club 83, because we are one of the oldest clubs around. 83 is, let's say you, when you form a new Toastmasters club, you get a number that's just, I think, sequential, that if you're forming a club today, they look and see what the next number up is. And so Club 83, we often get that comment as, wow, 83, that's a low number. And that's because we were founded in, 65 years ago. And so we just celebrated our 65th anniversary last year. And I'm pretty sure the club has been active the whole time and hasn't been dormant at all during that time. That's more than I know. And I think I'll turn it over to Yumi or Joseph to give more history.
I'll tackle the next part, and Dr. Joe can fill in the blanks. There are, as David Figueroa mentioned, there are over 300,000 members worldwide. There are 14 regions, I believe, and how many regions? 16,000 clubs worldwide, about 150 countries. Within District 33, where we belong, there are about 140 clubs, I think, Dr. Joe, and 1,500 members, if I'm not mistaken. And there are 7 divisions, A through G, and each division having 3 to 5 areas, and each area having 4 to 6 clubs. So you kind of get the idea. The clubs that I belong, Slow Noon Time and Slow Motion, they're both long-time clubs, but Slow Noon Time was established about 35 to 40 years ago. So we've been around for a while, and I am division area director, actually, area D2 director for 4 clubs within this area. So San Luis Obispo and Santa Maria, my clubs belong in those 2 cities. So Dr. Joe, maybe you'd like to add something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sorry, David, we have club number 5 in Santa Barbara.
And that's great by me.
Okay, I warned our listeners it would be that kind of discussion, and it's already started. Okay.
Hey, and a few years ago, when we met in person, we had a 20s theme. Everyone's dressed in their flappers and their fedoras and their scarves. We had a big party celebration with champagne. That's good. We can enjoy champagne when you're speaking. I remember that time because I'm out there toasting someone, something we practice from time to time, actually toasting someone. I'm up front. I was a division director back then. And somehow I spilled the champagne on my suit. I spilled the champagne. I'm sure none of you ever spilled drinks or food on yourself, but I have. And I was the guy. I had, 30 clubs at that time, 30, 31 clubs. But we have club number 5, Santa Barbara club number 5. And I belong to the Noventa club, which is number 90. And we just celebrated its 80th anniversary a couple years ago. That was a lot of fun. Nothing's better than watching people step into, I mean, let's face it, most of our fears are speaking. We'd rather die or eat Spam or something. I don't know. Ooh, that's disgusting. But we'd rather do something else to get up in front of others and speak. And I was that same guy 10 years ago. Even though I retired from the Air Force, my leadership, speaking, communication, I thought was good. I was wrong. And I've been told that over and over again. You're wrong. You need to step up your game. And I think that's so important. We think about in society is as we get a little bit older and we age, we want to be better communicators. We want people to understand us. How many of us are married? All right. Anyways, and our spouse. And
this is Joseph. This is radio. Okay.
This is radio. Oh,
raising your hand doesn't work on radio.
Raise your hand. Well, anyways, a lot of honk relationships fail because they can't communicate with one another. So keep that in the back of your mind. That's a great organization. 144 countries right now and counting.
Okay. Well, Joseph, you brought up at least one thing that I have to kind of get clarified. Then, okay, if club number 83, which is considered a surprisingly low number, that's a club that you're involved in, and there's a club number 5 in Santa Barbara, is there still a club number 1?
Club number 1 no longer exists, but club 85 was in Santa Maria, but it no longer exists. I think 5 is the oldest still running club that we have in the world today.
Okay, so nobody will rekindle club number 1 in some kind of surreptitious manner.
Well, we have something kind of interesting in Toastmasters. We have District 1, District 2, District 3, but we also have something called a Founders District, where number one was. And I think that's Anaheim, somewhere in that area.
Yeah, I think that's the area, yeah.
Yeah, it used to be the library once upon a time, but we still affectionately call them the Founders District. It's a prestigious honor. And we have District 1. It's also a prestigious honor. We're 33. We're way down a totem pole, but we've come a long way. And a couple of years ago, we were part of Las Vegas. Right now, District 33 goes up to Modesto, Palmdale, Ventura, Paso, Santa Barbara, and it used to go all the way to Las Vegas. And we split from them, and they named their district 115, you know, the I-15 that goes right up to Vegas, so they're 115. But we still have, I still have a lot of friends over there that I went up through leadership with. So it's interesting how we metamorphosize from time to time and change for everyone to get just a little bit better.
Okay. So I guess, okay, you mean I'll ask this question of you. How do you have people like Joseph and get them to stop speaking?
You can't.
Well, I was hoping that I thought this may help me. I've never been involved in Toastmasters, yes. and maybe I should, but that's a different story at the moment. Anyway, but maybe I can learn something about how you teach your speakers in the Toastmasters program to be brief on occasion. By the way, most people who know me will tell you I'm never brief enough either. So Joseph and I probably belong to the same club.
So Toastmasters meetings are designed around an agenda. So you see that there's a sequence of events that's happening. So each section is allotted so much time, and you're not going to go over that. For example, a typical speech, prepared speech, goes from 5 to 7 minutes, and you're going to be given a certain lights, green, yellow, and red at certain points. And if you go over your time, then you're cut off. You're disqualified, especially if you're in a speech contest. And so you have to be mindful about finishing your speech at the time that you're allotted. So that's also a good practice that you have to do. By practicing and practicing and practicing, you want to end that certain time zone. So that's a good practice. And I know that Joseph does very well during Toastmasters meetings, because we're going to yank him.
Okay. So we've had fun with this, and we'll continue to have fun with it during the hour. But I think for a lot of our listeners, the concept of actually being part of an organization that's primary focus is improving your leadership skills through speaking. And one of you mentioned earlier that there is a fear of public speaking for a lot of people. And it is indeed one of the biggest fears that Homo sapiens have, which is public speaking. Wind us up and put us in front of a group of people we have to share information with. Some of us, like me, you can't shut up, or like Joseph, you can't shut up. But there's an awful lot of people in this kind of environment that they would probably prefer to go jump off a bridge. So it is indeed a remarkably scary experience for an awful lot of people, even though we've all been speaking since we were infants. Hmm.
So I was being fictitious when I said that we were going to yank Joseph if it goes over time, but we're really very nice people. Toastmasters is probably the safest and secure, supportive environment where members can practice without fearing that they may be turned down or be criticized or something. You just keep on practicing, and sooner or later you learn that, oh, I no longer have fear of speaking. And that is kind of my story. And many people share similar stories. As an IT director at Cal Poly Corporation, I sometimes had to present in front of a group of people, especially in front of the board members. And oftentimes, well, sometimes, I guess, I needed to request for funding. And sometimes it was in the amount of $250,000 or more to support IT initiatives. And I know that sometimes it just made me really, really nervous. My voice would crackle and my neck muscles would tighten up, and I felt like I needed to do something. And one too many incident of that, I told myself, I'm going to fix this. So I visited a local Toastmasters club, Slow Noon Time, and I was so impressed with what was happening there. The people were just so professional, and the meeting was run so well, and they made me feel welcome. And at the end of the meeting, I decided to join the club. And that's, the rest is history. That was back in 2010. I took a little break, but then I missed Toastmasters so much while I was away. So I rejoined last year, and I'm getting a lot out of this. The Zoom meeting format is also great. Now, there are people who are not finding the Zoom format very friendly, and I get it. It's a no replacement for an in-person meeting, face-to-face meeting, but we're trying to find ways to encourage more people to join in, because based on what's going on in the state, we have to continue meeting via Zoom for a little while.
I was just going to chime in and just say that, the speaking part is really important. And I know that's how I got into Toastmasters. I can't remember the exact drive that was in me at the time, but I caught on YouTube an award, let's say the speech that won the Toastmasters International Speaking Competition in, let's say, 2010 or 2012. I can't remember which. And I thought it was incredible. It was an amazing speech, and I didn't know a lot about Toastmasters at the time, but I looked, as Yumi was saying, locally and found that there were a few clubs. I work a lot and I work some fairly irregular hours. And so the fact that Slow Club 83 met at 6:30 in the morning, which is not my favorite time of day, meant I was going to give this a try. And this is it. I honestly thought that, okay, I'll make it one every two or three or four meetings because I'll sleep through or whatever. It hasn't happened once. I have never, ever. Now, let's say I haven't slept through so that I didn't meet a meeting. I have been pretty tired at some of those meetings, but I always feel engaged and energized by the club membership. And quite honestly, that's what keeps me involved in Toastmasters, is that club environment. It's not the international thing, it's that club environment, which is encouraged by the international thing, but this local group of people, a really diverse group of people, including students, retired residents. We have residents or former area residents that have moved out, but because of the Zoom platform, we're able to keep them. So some of our most active members are in Washington, D.C. and Napa Valley. It's a great place, not just to learn speaking, but to go through the leadership skills, which I think we'll get into, as well as critiquing. And that means listening. And so I think that part of it, the way you're taught to listen and to evaluate speaking, was really new to me, and I think was really important. I'm sure in some people's school backgrounds, they've been taught critical listening, but I never really got that very much. And Toastmasters is teaching me that today. And I think it's something that I didn't expect that's there. And I think I've gotten probably as much or more out of it as the valuable insights into better speaking.
Yeah, some very good points, David. Thank you. Yumi, you said something that I want to come back to, because I think for some people who are not already involved in something like Toastmasters, it may be in and of itself the most intimidating part of what we may be addressing today. And that is, you were saying that when you went to your first meeting, it was agendized, it was well organized, it was professional. I think for a lot of people, when we put the word professional in a same conversation with any kind of public speaking or speaking, persuasive speaking for business or whatever it may be, that's what causes people to run for the hills. So that was an inviting part of the experience. My hunch, as you said that, was I was kind of bracing myself for the thought that we may have some listeners that that might really feel like, oh my gosh, that's the very thing that has me most afraid to join something like Toastmasters. These are all professional speakers.
I hear what you're saying, Fred. That's a very good point. What I really meant to say was that they made me feel welcome and warm in that once I walked in and sat down, a lady pulled me to a side. Here's an empty seat. Why don't you sit here? I remember that. She handed me an agenda and she explained to me what was happening, because I think that I may have been a couple minutes late to the meeting. So she explained, this is where we are. This is where we're going. And that was so warm. And she made me really feel like I belong there and I wanted to belong there. And she was, I believe she was an officer, and not only the officers though, everybody at the club were just so welcoming and friendly. That's key. And I think that's what I found. I found that every club that I have visited, since then I've visited many clubs, and the Zoom format obviously makes it easier. And as an area director, I do need to make visits to different clubs. And every club operates in a very similar way. They're so welcoming. So that's what I meant by professional, not just, you know, dressed in suits and somewhat being kind of stuck. Not bad. Everybody was just so welcoming and really friendly.
Yeah. One of my first thoughts is while I enjoy wearing a necktie when I get dressed up, it's very hard to wear a necktie tight enough to make it look proper and then talk for a long period of time. So, I mean, there's an irony with formal attire or being dressed up and also being relaxed enough to really be an effective speaker. We did get some emails. Let me hold on a second. Carrie Gray, one of the things Carrie Gray asked about was whether or not we can have a list of the clubs that are available and how you get information in both Santa Maria and San Luis Obispo. So I think, Yumi, in your notes to me, you did put some information about how you can search out clubs. Can you share that with us?
Absolutely. Thanks, Carrie. Carrie is an officer from Bizmasters Club in Santa Maria. So good to hear from you, Carrie, via email. You can search in your browser Toastmasters International, and you'll find the Toastmasters International website. And on that, you will see at the very at the top, Find Club. And you click that link, then you can find clubs, any clubs. And you can put in 25 miles or 15 miles within where I am. And you can find clubs that are near you. And this is so easy to do. And a lot of times that's what people do. And from there is a link to the club. And you go and you click that and you now can visit the club website. And each club has many clubs, most clubs, I would say, probably not every club, but most clubs have their own website. And on there, there's a wealth of information that talks about what you can find at Toastmasters meeting. You can learn about different Toastmaster club members, what their background is, why they joined the Toastmasters, benefits of Toastmasters, and all that. So there's a wealth of information. So Toastmasters International, you search that. I guess you can Google it, but I happen to use a different search engine.
I often recommend to our listeners that they Google things, because sometimes it's hard to get the characters correct to actually do an effective search if you don't allow Google to kind of take it over. So thank you very much from that standpoint. So if someone comes to a meeting for the first time, what happens?
Well, the president opens the meetings. And there's as Yumi was saying, a structure it's a rather strict structure. Some of the clubs might shift blocks around, but otherwise it's a strict agenda structure. The president opens the meeting, and one of the very first items is to welcome guests. And so sometimes you know in advance that a guest is going to be a part of your meeting, but fairly often you don't. They drop in and they're there. And so first thing we do is ask them and how they found out about Toastmasters. And so they have to speak a little bit. we also ask them, though, if they want to take part in, there's a portion of a Toastmasters meeting called Table Topics, which are extemporaneous speeches between 1 and 2 minutes long. And there is some one of the members who hosts, or let's say who operates as what they call the Table Topics Master. And they've composed questions that only they know about until we reach that part of the meeting. And then they ask those questions and call on members or guests to answer those questions given a 1 to 2 minute time frame. And so that's the opportunity for a guest to take part in a meeting. And I'd say that in our club, probably about 80% of those guests that come choose to be active in the very first meeting, and I've never seen them regret it. So that's what they can expect. And hopefully, if we're doing our job right as club members, we also check in with them at the end of the meeting and ask them how they enjoyed their time, but follow up and try to get some just questions from them, find out if they just wanted to try it out or if they're interested in actually becoming a member. And we're very open with them too. If they say the early morning meeting time doesn't suit their schedule, we refer them to other clubs, such as the two that Yumi's a member of here in SLO, or depending on where they are, other nearby clubs. So we, of course, we love to have them in our club, but we know that that time doesn't suit everybody. And so we want them to, if they need that experience and that experience, let's say that experience of learning to grow through Toastmasters with their speaking and listening and so forth, that they can find a club that suits them.
How large are the clubs? I mean, are we talking about, I'm thinking 200 people in a club may be tough to work with. 6 or 7 might be not enough people for the diversity you'd like in a community.
I think I'm going to share a quick, go ahead, Dr. Joe.
Just really quickly, to start a club, you have to have a minimum 20 members. We call that charter strength. So you have enough people every week, you'll have a different role. So at least 20 members. But we have clubs from 8, and I've seen clubs with 60 people when I was in Buffalo, New York. But a good 20, 25 is a fairly good, strong club, and that's what we strive for, so we can all get a bigger and better experience.
So how many clubs locally are there? I mean, because we've talked about a number of them in San Luis Obispo. We've talked about one in Santa Maria from one of our listeners that talked about. Are they diverse enough in the community that you know there may be North County people who would prefer not to have to drive all the way to San Luis for a meeting? I'm sure in the case of Santa Maria and even places like Solvang, that it may be something that you want to be able to count on doing as part of your work week or your day, without it being a major demand, if you will.
So within District 33, there are about 140 clubs from Merced, that area, Turlock, to Westlake. So the clubs are really, there are so many clubs in the North County, many clubs in the San Luis Obispo area, Santa Maria, Santa Barbara, many clubs to choose from.
Yeah, my guess is in the KCBX listening area, there must be at least 20 clubs. I don't know the exact number, but...
We might even have more. You might have more than that, because we're heard as far south as Carpinteria,
yeah,
and as far north as Soledad on a regular basis. I think some of the small communities like Soledad or King City may have clubs also. But again, you can find a club directory on the website, and a good thing to try from that standpoint. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back within a little bit. This is Central Coast Voices, and we're talking with folks today from Toastmasters, a group of people who love to speak and are very engaging. I think this has been a great conversation. We'll continue it in just a moment.
We'll return to our conversation here on Central Coast Voices with Fred Monroe and his guests in just a couple of moments. I'm Brad Kyle from the KCBX Community Calendar. The Morro Coast Audubon Society is presenting a virtual birding experience on September 20th called Birding Fast and Slow. You can learn how and why birding can benefit everyone by forging a greater connection with nature and engaging different parts of the brain. You can find more information and the link to attend online at morrocoastaudubon.org.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, our award-winning series from 2020, when I travel to the U.S.-Mexico border, starting in El Paso and then Ciudad Juarez for part one of The Moving Border.
CBP recibe a 10 personas hoy ingresando por la tarde. Nos quedamos en el número 19,428.
That's next time on Latino USA.
On the next Fresh Air, we continue our Summer of Soul series featuring performers showcased in Questlove's concert documentary, Summer of Soul, about the 1969 Harlem Cultural Festival. From our archive, we'll hear interviews with B.B. King and South African trumpeter Hugh Masekela. Join us.
The government over in the UK says it is committed to going green. Not all the royal subjects agree, though.
I don't think we should be actually sitting there worrying about our global footprint.
I'm Kai Rizdal, and I, for one, am going to want to hear how that story turns out next time on Marketplace.
Thanks for joining us today on KCBX. This afternoon, you can hear Latino USA coming up at 2 o'clock. That's followed by Fresh Air at 3 and then Marketplace at 4. Right now, it's time for more Central Coast Voices with Fred Monroe and his guests. Back to you, Fred.
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate that. By the way, from some of the emails I received, I guess I may want to consider joining Toastmasters because I've been advised I've broken a number of good speaking rules just in the first couple of minutes of the program. Thank you to one of our listeners for letting me know that. It's probably something I should pay attention to. And I broke the rule during that part of the conversation right now. So I'll do the best I can to stay out of that for the moment. So walk me through the evolution of joining something like Toastmasters, because if you have a fear of public speaking, or maybe even a fear of being in a large social or professional group, the evolution of this process may be difficult for you. I suspect there are some people whose thought may be, if I join Toastmasters, I'm going to have to do a 5-minute speech the second week I show up. Please tell me what's going on here.
Maybe I'll kick off here. I'll try to be brief. I've got kind of two examples. There, as we've suggested, it's not just about walking into a Toastmaster meeting and you start speaking. There are a lot of points, a lot of roles. And this is the key, is a meeting isn't just the speakers and the listeners. It is someone who takes time for the speeches called the timekeeper. I can't remember right now. I just had a meeting this morning and I've already forgotten. We also have a grammarian who keeps track of how the language is used, both good and bad, as well as something we call the word of the day that we try to encourage people to use to just keep an eye on vocabulary. There, let's say we try to involve as many people as possible, and most times we succeed in everybody having a role, but those don't have to be speaker roles. And so a new member oftentimes will work through those various roles to feel comfortable being a part of the meeting, but not having to speak a lot. We do have each role describe what that role is and what its part is in the meeting. So there's a introduction part of the meeting that can sometimes seem dry insofar as it's repeated every meeting, but we think it's really important, especially for guests and new members, to reinforce what that role is and its part in the meeting. And so in that way, some people who are, I guess you'd say, shyer, get their confidence up within the context of the meeting in the group so that they work up towards that first speech. And the first speech is always called a icebreaker. And icebreaker speeches are supposed to really just fall back onto yourself and your own experience. Tell us something about yourself. And those speeches for me are the biggest gems of being in Toastmasters. I still recall icebreaker speeches that members have given where you learn something about them that they've waited weeks to tell you and finally have gotten this out. And I think in a lot of cases, it's the first time they've ever shared that unique experience with a group. And so I try not to, if I think somebody's going to be doing an icebreaker, I never miss it. I just want to add one thing here. One time we had a member who seemed to be really into the club and took roles, but waited a long time to give his first speech. And, you know, we kept asking, we didn't push. So there's no like rule that you have to give your first speech within a week, a month, a year even, you know, it's up to you. And this guy waited a very long time. I don't know how long. Finally, he was going to give his first speech. I said, I'm not going to miss that meeting. And I was there, as were several other members who had said, okay, he's finally going to give this speech. And I remember he gave his speech. It was about the national debt. And it was one of the most informed speeches, but depressing at the same time, that I've ever heard in my life. And this guy was an academic expert on the national debt. He never showed up to a meeting again. That's what he wanted to get out. And I figured once he achieved that, he was out of there. He was gone. It was the weirdest thing I've ever been a part of.
That's a fascinating, fascinating perspective from that standpoint. Yumi, you were going to add something?
Yes, I echo what David just shared. Most people come in and they don't want to give a speech, and that's okay. But one of the first things that we do as Toastmasters, more experienced Toastmasters and club officers, is to pair a new member with the mentor. And the mentor kind of guides a new member through the Toastmaster journey and kind of works with the person. It's a longer term relationship that we act as a supporter and just make the person feel comfortable. And for your first speech, it's okay to use notes. And a lot of times that's what people do. And over time, they'll lose the notes. And sometimes just occasionally look at the notes, and that's okay. And it's a process that you become more comfortable and familiar as you go along. And I can share that when I first joined, table topics was probably the most scary part that I fear the most. And I would just try to duck and not make eye contacts with the table topics master and just pray that don't call on me, please don't call on me. And then, you know, after a while, that kind of transitions into, well, you can call on me, but you're still nervous. And then after a while, you kind of formulate an answer. The idea is that the table topics master would give a question, but not call on a speaker until he or she has explained the question. And so everybody's just kind of sitting there, oh, who's going to be called on? And while the process is going on, I remember thinking that, okay, I might answer this question this way. So it was a process of becoming better, preparing to answer an impromptu question. So you will see that. And you know, the thing is, sometimes I was also getting some feedback from my coworkers that, hey, you know, I can see that you're getting better. You're really getting better. Because sometimes I had to be in front of a group of people, let's say at a fall orientation where a lot of employees are gathered, and I have to give a little update about the department. And people would see that, hey, I think that you've been doing something. You've been doing something. Or some people say that, I know that you've been attending Toastmasters. It's helping you. It's really helping you. So I knew that it was working for me.
So let's revisit for a second. Table topics. That's something that goes on. That's different than a speech to the entire meeting. So can we give a definition or an explanation, a little more detail about what that involves?
Well, table topics is impromptu speaking. It's still at the meeting, of course, but we have different roles. We'll have a general evaluator. You'll have evaluators for your speakers. You might have a joke master. We have people sometimes do pledge and inspiration. We'll have a grammarian, odd counter. All those are different roles, and they change week to week. Our table topics master, sometimes we'll have a theme. It could be vacations, for instance. Maybe the theme of the week is vacations. We'll say, boy, I sure like cruises, and cruises are fun, and boy, the last time I went on vacation. And Fred, tell us about your favorite vacation. Well, we might call on you like that. You have 1 to 2 minutes to talk about your favorite vacation. Now, I wouldn't make it that easy for you. It varies on the audience and how experienced they are. You could talk about almost any subject. You could talk about any subject, provided everyone agrees on it. Obviously, we try to stay away from politics and religion, but technically you can if the club agrees on doing those kinds of things. Last year, I visited 96 clubs. 96 clubs, all were virtual except for one, all around the world. And what's so exciting is every club has the same agenda, same strategy. Some are 1.5 to 2.5 hours long, and most of ours out here just 1 hour. But and then almost every meeting, they start with the mission statement. And our mission statement is we provide a supportive and positive learning experience in which members are empowered to develop communication and leadership skills, resulting in greater self-confidence and personal growth. Now, that's how it works for me. I never heard of Toastmasters 9 years ago. I was involved in some kind of business, and someone invited me to a coffee club networking group where everybody had, 30 seconds. You give your elevator pitch, and then someone would talk for 10 minutes. Well, it was probably the second meeting when I was there. This was in Grover Beach, actually, in Grover Beach. And I just give my elevator speech, and the guy next to me kind of grabbed me by the arm and said, "You need to go with me tomorrow." Like, "Well, go with you where?" "Hey, I've got this meeting. Going to be fun. I'll buy you breakfast." And it was a Toastmasters event. "Did I want to go?" "No." But he told me, he was blunt, "If you want to make a sale, and not just selling a product or service, selling yourself, you need to learn how to communicate. You need to learn how to work on that self-confidence. You need to learn how to be able to take constructive criticism or evaluations so we can get better. If we never got evaluated, even with our ums and you knows and but hands in our speaking, those are filler words, how are we going to get better?" And we see a lot of politicians with those ums and stuff like that. In fact, there's a club in California, the mayor and her whole staff are members of a club. The mayor and the whole staff. We have a lot of corporate clubs. There's a club in Ventura that says, "I'm not going to promote anyone in management until he works through certain educational levels in Toastmasters," because that's the training we provide to make us just a little bit better than the average person. And we have an educational program called Pathways. Maybe you want to be a better presenter. Maybe you want to show more enthusiasm or persuasive speaking. Maybe you want to be an MC somewhere. And we have different paths designed for each and every one of us. We get to pick and choose. So there's a program you go through telling you, they have tutorials and training. Like Yumi said, if you have the right mentor, hey, the sky's the limit. We all get bigger and better from this organization. But I've visited 96 clubs this past year. I don't care if I'm in Saudi or the Philippines or Canada or Mexico. I've spoken in all these countries. And today, well, before the pandemic, I was getting paid to speak up and down California. Every other week, I was going somewhere else. Hopefully, I get back into that. Something I never wanted to do before. And I think I mentioned earlier, I'm semi-retired. Well, I'm retired from the Air Force. But all these opportunities open up. Hey, you like to speak. In fact, I'm doing a 9/11 event here pretty soon. And I speak at a lot of veterans organizations. And I spoke in front of 500 people in Reno a couple of years ago. Opportunities open up if you let them. Sure, we're still fearful. Sure, we still get the butterflies. Sure, we maybe the shakes a little bit. But we get a little better at controlling it. And I remember this club, your club, David, probably 3 or 4 years ago. You probably remember the member. I was driving. This is the first time visiting the club. I'm getting out of the car, and this guy, can I help you? Are you looking for, he stuttered. Are you looking for a Toastmaster club? Stuttered. And David, you know who I'm talking about. He stuttered. But when he spoke that day, when he was on stage, flawless. Flawless. And that's a sense of pride inside. Sure, when he stepped out of the spotlight, he kind of went back to his other ways. But can you imagine, even if it's 5 to 7 minutes every other week, where your life's just a little bit better? There's nothing better than what we do and teach, because Toastmasters helps you be better at what you're already doing. It augments, it helps you improve your life, whatever that may be. Sure, I belong to 6 clubs, and I love it. Quite frankly, cheap entertainment. I love it. I belong to a club in Hawaii called Hawaii Comedy Central.
Yeah, Joe, I just want to riff on what you were saying there, because it's, I think some people think, okay, well, everybody's already at a very high level going into Toastmasters and they just want to step up their game a little bit. And that is not the case at all. I'd say that there are some Toastmaster clubs that, you know, in order to join them or to be a member, you have to almost interview and then be, you know, super high level speaker or whatever. I'm not interested in those. I'm sure they have their purpose and they probably do great things. But what I'm interested in is the clubs like ourselves that are extremely diverse, welcome anyone, especially people who aren't sure if this is for them and are very intimidated by speaking. So like Joe was mentioning, the person he met from our club the first time he came, that was a student. That was a Cal Poly student. And we embrace students. We usually have about 20 to 30% of our membership from Cal Poly students, sometimes Cuesta, but oftentimes Cal Poly. They're very eager, but a lot of times they're very intimidated as well when they start. But there's so many classes and courses and programs at Cal Poly that require presentation, and I think it's a great thing. But to my knowledge, they don't teach a lot of presentation skills. So myself and some others in the club have been brought in by different departments, these three different departments where I've been brought in almost every quarter to give a presentation skill workshop, which is great. I think they should offer it through the school, but we're very willing to help on that front. And really just to pull it back into table topics, which I think was your question, Fred, it is an impromptu style speaking. We do encourage thinking on your feet and being able to answer a question, but I recall a couple of members, one who she literally froze and sometimes just walked off and didn't answer the question. And we felt bad for her. And I told her, I took her aside once and I said, you know what? These questions really are just triggers. I said, you go home and you prepare a speech. Think of what you want to say. And next week, say that no matter what question you get. And that sort of changed her completely. She then, it was kind of humorous for a while because she would be asked a question about how she thinks world wars can end. And then she'd come and say, give a speech about how she did a coconut dish last night and prepared it perfectly. And it was really entertaining, but it had nothing to do with the question received. And I told her then, I said, you are becoming a politician.
And that's a very good point. Yeah,
because that's what if you listen to a lot of politicians, that exactly what they do. They know exactly what they're going to say. Well, and others, too. They prepare everything in advance, which is a lesson. You know, it's a skill and a talent. And why not practice it, given the forum of table topics where you're supposed to be making something up, which we encourage. But if you feel for that day that you want to do something completely different, go for it.
I can't relate to the topic you're sharing with me, but I can relate in some way as to what it makes me think about. And so that's what you're going to hear. If nothing else, that may open up the discussion.
Yeah.
Yumi, I stepped on you there for a moment. Sorry.
No, I think that I may have on you. What I was going to say was, yes, I echo what David said, and I have used those tactics too, pivoting. But at the same time, I think that in most cases, the speech that wins the Table Topics Best Speaker Award is something that is said from your heart, heartfelt, personal story. And it doesn't matter. You can pivot if you want, but something that you kind of dig deep inside and then share something personal, that really is a powerful story that typically people tend to relate to and ends up winning the Best Table Topics Speaker Award. And I can tell you that I hadn't won one of those awards for many, many, many years. And once I started to kind of let my guard down a little bit and just share my story, then boy, bingo, that's what got me the award. So
Thank you for sharing that. Before we get into our kind of our closing comments, most of my regular listeners know that I do the best I can to get out of the way for a few minutes so you can wrap it up and make sure that our listeners are aware of what's most critical to this topic. But I wanted to jump in real quickly and say, David, I think one of the things that you shared that will stick with me for the program today is how some of those first speeches that are really kind of self-disclosure speeches from reasonably new members become some of the best human connections that you may experience in Toastmasters. Thank you for sharing that. And I'll start with you, David. You get the first couple of minutes. What do you want to make sure that everyone walks away from today remembering and carries with them about Toastmasters?
Well, I would be folly if I didn't say, if you have nothing better to do on Thursday at 6:30 in the morning, please join Slow Toastmasters Club 83. Because I always say, you don't have any excuse that you have something else to do at that hour of the day. No, we're a warm bunch of people who really like to help each other out on Thursday mornings. And I'd say without that group, I probably might have found other things to do at 6:30 in the morning a few years ago, but I've been sticking with it now for about 5 or 6 years. I will say one other thing about the club. We have a prize at our club, which is called the Oscar. It is an actual trophy. It looks like an Academy Award. It is given out to the meeting participant who makes the greatest impact, whatever that is, at each meeting. And it's in memory of one of our old members, Oscar Dodd, who was a member back in the 80s and 90s, who was an English teacher at, I believe, Slow High. He died several years ago, and the club did a really neat thing is after he died, they instituted this Oscar, this trophy, in memory of him. And so if you want to be awarded the Oscar, the Oscar Dodd's Oscar, we're also the place for you. Anyway, just lastly, I'm really glad that you chose to raise the attention of Toastmasters across our listening area. It's a great organization. There's a lot of different ways to take it. You don't have to get that engaged with the enormity of Toastmasters International, but it's there as an opportunity if you want to invest the time and all into it. And as Joseph was saying, it can be a real adventure when you start being welcomed into meetings in Abu Dhabi and Stockholm and Peking and other places around the globe. Yeah. The COVID period has put challenges on us. I'll try to wind this up now, but I think the Zoom platform, a lot of the clubs have really seen opportunities instead of barriers. And I think that's going to stick with us for a long time. Whenever we are able to meet again, we'll just do it in a dual way. But these opportunities to participate in other clubs around the world and get that feeling for the size of Toastmasters, I think is a good experience just, well, individually, but I think in this world where we need to understand each other better across our planet, because we are globalized, I wish more people would take that opportunity. And it's there for you in Toastmasters. I'll leave it there.
Dr. Joe, your final thoughts.
Hey, thank you very much for that. It's funny, I have a club that meets 7 a.m. on Tuesdays. It's not 6:30, it's 7 a.m. called South County Presenters. And in my club, due to this Zoom, this new platform, I literally have members of my club from Malaysia, from Thailand, from Singapore, and Barbados, as well as visitors from around the world on a regular basis. It's opened up the world. You learn a little bit about their customs. They learn a little bit about yours and just have fun with it. And but maybe the English is a little different or odd, but that's all right. And I think David mentioned earlier, in Santa Maria, we have an all-Spanish club called Valle de Santa Maria. We have everything out there. If you go to our district website, D33TM.org, Delta33TangoMike.org, you'll learn a little bit more about our district and our leaders, and you can find a club from there also, as well as Toastmasters.org. This opportunity, Toastmasters, has opened up the world for me. I did not want to get into leadership of this. I have better things to do, but I find that the further up I'm worked at, I mean with other district leaders from around the world. So you're not just in your club, you can move up to like UMI area and division and district, and you get to meet and really collaborate, really network with people may have similar problems you're having, and some may have solutions you're looking for. And once we let go of those barriers and just ask for help, this is a great place to be. I'm so glad to be part of it. I'm so glad to be working with you, me, and David. And hey, Toastmasters rock.
Yumi, your final, you get the final thoughts.
Thanks, Fred and KCBX, for inviting us for this lively discussion and fun discussion. We really enjoyed it. So if you have been contemplating on joining Toastmasters, just kind of trying to find out about what Toastmaster is all about, this may be your opportunity to go find this. Toastmasters.org, find the club. And there are so many options. And I can tell you that if you have been fearing about public speaking, fear no more. Just plunge in. It's an immersion and flooding. And I did it. And I never regretted it. It's been such a joy to be part of this organization. There are so many wonderful, friendly, great people out there in the Toastmasters organization. And you know, one of the things that I also learned was that not only Toastmasters help you become more effective communicator, but it also helps you become a more effective leader. And it just happens. Toastmasters has been really instrumental in helping me grow as a leader, and I cannot be more proud. So come join us if you can. Come check us out, and you know how to find us. So maybe this is inspiration for you, I hope, and hope to find you at one of our meetings.
Thank you very much. I appreciate having all three of you with us today. Obviously, Toastmasters is a good example for our community because it makes for a lively discussion. You are some of the most engaging guests I've had, and that's been delightful to do from that standpoint. And I would jump in real quick and suggest maybe for some people, being able to do Toastmasters the first time by Zoom may be a safe way to jump in if you're a little uncomfortable as far as the public setting. Thank you for joining us today. This has been Central Coast Voices. I'm glad you've been all with us today. Chris Kington Barker will be here next week. Chris Kington is going to look at a very, very serious topic, and that is the danger of drinking during pregnancy. The Fetal Alcohol Syndrome Disorders Awareness Day is next Thursday, and she's going to talk about that and share it with you all. It's a very important topic. I want to thank you again for joining us. Central Coast Voices is a project of Action for Healthy Communities, underwritten by the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County in conjunction with KCBX. Thank you to Brad Kyle for being our in-studio person and holding down the fort for so long. And thank you to my guests today, Yumi Sprague, Dr. Joseph Skoda, and David Figueroa. And this has been Central Coast Voices. Hope to join you again soon. Take care. Thank you.